This is the Intimacy Podcast, formerly known as Bedroom Confidence for Good Women. You are listening to Bedroom Confidence for Good Women, Episode 17, How to Talk to Your Child About Sex Without Shame or Embarrassment. Welcome to Bedroom Confidence for Good Women, a podcast for my sisters who are ready to rock some serious confidence in the bedroom. I'm your host, certified coach instructor, Rhonda Farr. Hey there, sister. How's your day going? So yesterday, my kindergartner came home and he told me something that I would have flipped out about a few years ago if my oldest child had came home from kindergarten telling me this. He came home and told me that he was sitting with or near a boy on the bus who was also a very young child who is like a second grader, I think, who showed him his private parts, showed my son his private parts. He told me that he told him the story about how he got hurt and he pulled down his pants to show him. And my son said, "But don't worry, Mom." He was telling me this story very calmly. "But don't worry, Mom. I just looked away and I didn't look at it and I don't sit with him anymore." And he was just calm about it. So I started to ask him questions. Did he ask you to touch him? Did he ask you to come back over and look? Did he say anything else that went along with his story about getting hurt? To which my son replied no. And he was very calm. He didn't seem traumatized by it. And so I kind of thought in my mind, what do I need to do about this? Who do I need to contact? Do I need to let somebody know? How do we need to handle this? So I was able to stay calm. I was able to talk to him about it. And I was able to talk to my older son who is on the bus with my kindergartner and talk to him about the little boy and the situation. So after it was all over with, though, I thought back about how I would have probably handled this situation when my oldest son was in kindergarten. I'm certain I would have flipped out. I would have called the principal like immediately before having all the information. I would have scared my son to death probably with my emotions. I would have made him think that he was in trouble probably, not on purpose, very unintentionally, but just because I would have really been worked up and scared myself. So I really took a moment to feel proud of myself that I didn't cause my kindergartner to feel like he had done anything wrong. I didn't make him feel like he couldn't come talk to me without me freaking out. I just took a little moment to be proud of myself. Not that I always do it perfectly, you guys. And some of you will probably disagree with the way I handled this situation, and that's fine. But I'd love to talk to you today about how to talk to your child about sex and my views and my thoughts on that. I know when it comes to teaching our children, we get really nervous. We get really fearful because it's a big deal, right? Like, it's really important that we do this right. So I want to talk to you about my approach and why I take this approach and where I've gotten some of my information and what I've learned throughout the years with my own children. So today, buckle up. I'm going to talk to you about how I talk to my children about sex, and maybe you'll get some good answers. Hopefully, you'll find that my approach will not lead you or your child to embarrassment or shame. I'd love to hear what you think after you listen to it all. Also, I'm going to include a little checklist and a freebie, so you don't have to take notes if you want to go back and just get a little freebie guide to look at all the things I talk about. That will be available to you. I will include the link in my show notes, but it's rhondafarr.com/freebie-teaching. So that's freebie-teaching. So look for that if you want it. It also has a little link to a video that shows me teaching all the steps and guidelines. So lots of free resources today with this podcast. So first of all, when I talk about teaching our kids about sex without shame and embarrassment, there are three parts that I like to address. One is parental mindset, like our thoughts and feelings before we go into the conversations or teaching moments. And some of those teaching moments happen on the fly, right? So we have to make sure we're in a good mindset overall. And then the second component is how to show up with your child, like when you're in that moment with them. How do you want to behave? Like I was talking about with my son, do we want to be calm? Do we want to be on high alert? How do we want to show up with our child in the moment? And then the third part is just some practical application advice, like how to actually do the talking, do the teaching. So I think the best way to help our kids get comfortable with their sexuality is to just be comfortable ourselves. So if you're one of these people who isn't sure about what you think about your sexual relationship with your spouse, or you're not really sure if you were taught the right way, I really encourage you to think about those things. Think about what you were taught. Think about if you thought that was the right way, that if it helped you, if it was beneficial to your progression in relationships and in your own thinking about your own sexuality. I really want you to think about those things and question them. I think the most important step when we're teaching our own children is our mindset, how we're thinking about it. So whether sex in the human body is already an open discussion in your family, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, it's a great idea to do a quick self-check to make sure you have the right attitude going forward, okay? So here are some questions I think you could ask yourself ahead of time. And even in those moments when it gets really awkward with your kids, go back to these questions and really ask yourself again when you're tempted to just give up and quit teaching because it's too uncomfortable. Some of you might get to that point, okay? Here are some questions to help you get in the right mindset. Number one, why do I want to have these talks and these interactions with my child anyway? Is it because I'm afraid they're going to get themselves into trouble one day? Is it because I'm afraid somebody might sexually abuse them and I want to warn them? Is it because I love them? And you can totally love them and have the other two reasons too. But is it from a place of love for them and their future relationship? Maybe you want them to just have a smoother transition into marriage than you did. Is it because you want to be able to talk about sex openly at the dinner table or in the car? You want your kids to be able to come home from school and ask you questions without any shame or embarrassment? Really think about why you want to have these talks and these interactions with your child in the first place, and let that be a motivating factor to continue to work on your mindset, to work on the follow-through and application of your teaching. Let that be a motivating factor of how you want to show up with your child. How do I want to have conversations about sex to be a part of your relationship with your child? That's question number two. How do I want these conversations about sex to be a part of my relationship? Do we want to have a one and done sex talk like birds and the bees? Do I want to have, like I said before, a relationship where if it comes up at the dinner table, we're totally cool with that. We just talk about it. Do I want to have the conversations just be something that we have in private where maybe your kid will say, hey mom, I didn't want to talk about this with the little kids, but can we talk and pull them aside at the end of the day or whatever? Really think about it. This is important because it will affect how you teach and your attitude going forward. What are the conversations you want to have look like for your specific circumstance? Question number three. What results regarding sexual well-being do I hope to encourage for my child now and for the relationships my child will have in the future? So this is, let me explain a little bit further. I want you to think about what you want the outcome of your interactions to be. Do you want your child to be fearful of sexual intimacy? Do you want your child to just hold sexual intimacy in high regard and with respect? Do you want the outcome to be your child feels like it's just a really important part of marriage and something that they're looking forward to one day? Again, your mindset going into what results you want for your child and what you want to be thinking about it will really help you set the tone of all the conversations that you have. Question number four, how do I need to be thinking and what do I need to be feeling when I talk to my child about sexuality and concerns about pornography and morality? You're like, what does that even mean? What do I want to be thinking and feeling? Let me explain a little bit more. A lot of times, myself included, at many times in my past, I've gone into conversations, and many of the parents and clients that I work with have gone into conversations with their children with the feelings of fear, with the thoughts of, I just don't want my kid to mess up. I just don't want them to ever make a moral transgression like this. And what I want to offer you is, when we go into any situation in fear, it's not going to yield the same results as if we go into the conversation or situation with love. Okay, so think about this. If you go into this conversation with fear, you're going to be telling your child all the reasons that they need to be afraid and careful. And some of this is still good information, but if you go into it feeling fear, you're going to be worried. You are going to be thinking about all the consequences and the bad outcomes, right? If you go into a similar conversation with a feeling of love, you're much more likely to be teaching your child the benefits of a healthy sexual approach. You're going to be teaching your child from example, right? That sexuality is an important part of marriage. You can still teach your child from a place of love that there are concerns that they need to watch out for, that you do have boundaries and guidelines that we believe have been set in place by our Heavenly Father that will protect them and keep them safe. I just want to offer you, if you go into the conversation with fear and anxiety, it will be a very different experience for you and your child than if you go into the conversation with love and with excitement to teach them and to have this relationship with them that's on a whole different level than you've ever had before. So mindset is a very important piece of this conversation that we have with our kids when they're teaching them about sex that many of us don't even consider. I know when I had my first conversation with my oldest son, I didn't consider my mindset going into it at all. I was very nervous. I was very worried about it. I had read in this book to make it a special conversation, so we offered him a treat. I think it was ice cream. It was either ice cream or donuts. He remembers because he's told me a few times, like, I couldn't even eat ice cream for like a year without thinking about all the things that you guys told me. And we had told him in a way that was kind of fearful because he was our oldest and we were just learning. I think he's recovered from it because we have a pretty good open conversation about it now. But so interesting to hear his thoughts when I was coming from that place of fear and anxiety. Okay, the second part of, or the second category of teaching your child about sex and intimacy is how we show up with them in the moment when we're teaching them. So the first part was a mindset. It's kind of that pre-work that you do before you have these conversations. The second part is how we show up in the moment. And if we show up as authentic and vulnerable with our kids, I know this seems a little bit scary, but I want you to know when we're real with them, like, yeah, it was hard to stay morally clean when we were dating. Or, yeah, I had those thoughts too, and it's okay. Or, yeah, I was a little bit confused. I heard things at school that I didn't understand. When we're open and authentic, this makes us real to our children. It makes us relatable. It makes us seem trustworthy, and it helps them to feel normal where they are. When they feel normal, they are able to come to us and say, yeah, I remember you telling me you felt like that. I'm feeling this way too. Can you help me with this? Or what did you do? So you see what I'm saying? Some parents are afraid if they're authentic and vulnerable, then it makes them seem like it's okay. I'm telling the child it's okay to make mistakes. That's not what we're talking about here. We are normalizing these feelings and behaviors that are God-given, that are very normal in our teenagers especially. Okay? So, show up authentic and vulnerable. Number two, we need to be engaged in the conversations. Sometimes I'm guilty of this too. My kids are trying to talk to me and they want to ask me things and I am just like, I've got other things on my mind and I'm doing dinner and I'm helping little kids with homework and it's really hard sometimes to stop what I'm doing and engage. And sometimes I can't do that. And if I can't do that, I will say, give me 10 minutes and then we will talk about this. If I can, one of my favorite times to talk is when I'm driving a child to lessons in the car, or perhaps I just have one kid in the car after school pickup for a moment. Those are some of my favorite times to talk, when we're in the car and it's just the two of us and we can have that one-on-one. But here's the thing. If we show up engaged to the conversation, then that child will know that we care about their concerns. Then that child will know that we want to help them. And who knows, they might come to you and they might present it as one thing, but it might lead to a situation that is super, super important. So if at all possible, let's be engaged in these conversations when they ask us to talk. And sometimes they don't ask us to talk. Maybe they're just talking about something and we need to notice that, oh, they could really use some guidance. And we say, hey, I can't do it right now. I'd love to talk to you later this evening. Maybe just me and you spend some time together. If you have the opportunity, you could say, let's go get a milkshake together, whatever, and be engaged with that child when the time comes to talk. Number three, staying calm when they ask you surprising or hard things. Just like with my child in the beginning, if we freak out when they ask us a question, or maybe they're confessing something to us, or maybe they're telling us about something that happened at school or on the bus, if we freak out when they tell us something that we don't really want to hear, we're telling them that we can't handle their truth. Really think about that, you guys. If you're calm, no matter what comes out of their mouth, you are telling them that you are their safe place to learn, to get help, to be accepted, to feel acceptance and feel that comfort that you need from them. I learned this lesson from a friend of mine. She was talking about how he came home from a friend's house one day and told me that the friend actually had touched him inappropriately and also asked him to touch him, asked her child to touch his private parts. So she was talking about this, and this is before I had done any of the work that I do now. This was years and years ago. And so I kind of freaked out for her and I said, what did you say? What did you do? Oh my gosh, never let him see him again, burn the house down and move. Not really, but you know what I mean. And she said, I just talked to him and I just listened to him. She said, I did feel that freak out in my mind. I was upset. I was worried, but I talked to him about it. And of course she went through the proper channels. Of course she did the things that she needed to do as a parent. But in that moment with her child, she just listened. And she heard him and she collected information. She let her child know that she was a safe place. I never forgot that because it was so counterintuitive to what I would have done. So that's something that I learned from a friend a long time ago and have tried really hard to put it in place since then. Okay, the next thing, we need to think about our investment. We need to think about why we want to teach our kids about sex, why we want to be this safe haven for them, because when you first try to start implementing these things, especially if your kids are older and you've never talked to them openly about sex before, it will be a bit alarming to them, okay? And it might be difficult for you. They might shut you down. They might not want to talk to you about it, especially if you haven't implemented these things from the time that they're smaller. You need to think about why you're invested in this. It's really going to serve your relationship with your child. And it also serves their relationship with themselves by not having shame around sexuality, and it will serve their relationship with their future spouse. So again, if you haven't talked to your child about sex and they're a little bit older, it's probably going to be a little bit difficult. There probably will be a little bit of resistance, but if you remember why you're doing it, if you stay invested in the cause, in the results that you'd like to have come from it, it will keep you trying. It will keep you creative, figuring out new ways to approach them. I also recommend that we stay consistent in our talking, not just a one and done thing. And some people do that, and that's okay. Their children aren't always scarred and damaged for life. But I think if we keep this an ongoing conversation, if we notice learning opportunities, like maybe we see something on a billboard. For us, we have this one lady who has lots of stickers on her car about abortion and pro-choice and all those things. And I just take those as teaching opportunities. My kids will read it and say, what does that mean? And I'll just tell them matter-of-factly, right? We just talk about it in an age-appropriate way, of course. But look for learning opportunities. Look for teaching opportunities that naturally and organically pop up throughout your day. And this is my last tip on how we show up with our kids. You're going to need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. I know that doesn't sound like the best advice, maybe not what you want to hear, but you're going to have to get comfortable being uncomfortable. There have been many times when I'm like, oh gosh, I don't know how to handle this. I don't know what to say here. And sometimes I just say a prayer right then and there. Heavenly Father, help me know what to say. Help me know how to handle this in the best way possible for me and my child, for our relationship, for their well-being ongoing. But sometimes we're going to have to talk about things that make us uncomfortable. It's part of being a parent, right? There's lots of parts of parenting that are uncomfortable. So, you can do this, my sister, my friend. All right. The third facet of our podcast today is practical application. Let's do it. Just do it, right? And I have a few pointers on this as well. I recommend you start early with your children. So you don't have to do it exactly like my husband and I do it. It's totally fine to do it however you feel best, but I say start early. We teach our kids anatomically correct terms. In fact, my child was over at a friend's house and they were playing Nerf guns. And apparently somebody shot him between the legs and he yelled out, "Ah, you shot me in the penis." And this was in a house full of lots of girls and boys. We have all boys at our house, so it's just normal. They go around saying things like that all the time. But one of the parents reluctantly and shyly told me about that incident and told me how they were a little bit shocked and the sisters in the family were a little bit shocked. But that's just how we do it. We teach them anatomically correct terms. We start early. Like our kids, we don't make nakedness a huge deal in our house either, especially when the kids are little. We just don't want them to feel embarrassed or ashamed of their bodies. So for us, just starting early and making things really normal and the terms really normal, that's the way we handle it. Of course, pray about it, think about it, seek your own thoughts and revelation on that. But another thing that we do is teach our children answers to their questions with truth. We don't say, oh, there's a watermelon seed in that lady's tummy. That's why her tummy's big. We don't make up things that aren't real, like the stork, how babies get here. Now, we don't go tell three-year-olds very graphic sexual things either. We answer questions with truth in a very age-appropriate way, okay? Very age-appropriate way. And as I said before, we don't create a lot of drama about it. We just say, this is how it is, right? This is how things happen. This is how Heavenly Father made us. I remember my friend, she once told me that her son asked her why her private parts had a beard. Why does yours have a beard and mine doesn't? She just said, oh, that's the way Heavenly Father made me. That's how bodies are. And he was satisfied with that and everything was fine. So we don't create a lot of mental drama around the facts or around our bodies. We also educate them about danger, and this is a very real concern, right? Those lessons that we have to teach our kids about pedophiles, we don't call them that one, or we don't when we're talking to our kids about it, but stranger danger, those things. We teach them about all of these issues in a way of awareness, not shame and fear, right? So if somebody touches them inappropriately or somebody propositions them, we just want to matter-of-factly say, nobody else touches your body. You're not supposed to touch anybody else's body. If anybody asks you to do that, you go tell an adult. You come home and tell us. We might even give them some safe words to say if they're at somebody else's house and they need to get out of a situation on the phone. If they say this word, that means come and get them. We teach them about things in a matter-of-fact way that doesn't evoke too much fear. And it also doesn't evoke shame in them if something happens to them. We don't want them to think they're damaged or broken or something's wrong with them if somebody does cross a line with them. This one goes back to the start early thing. We really want to be our children's first source of information. So, especially like I said before, if your kids haven't heard this before, how the mechanics of sex, it's going to be kind of shocking for them. So if they hear it at school or on the playground or at Cub Scouts, their brain is going to be shocked. They're going to latch onto it. They're going to be milling it over. Likely the information that they hear from friends is going to be incorrect and wrong. And what research has shown When these things happen, that's when kids get really curious and they just can't believe it and they can't get those images and thoughts out of their mind and they start Googling things and looking things up and they really get fixated on it. If you start early and you teach your kids correct truth, then when they hear those things on the playground or at Cub Scouts or in the classroom or whatever, then they can just say, oh, my parents already told me that, or oh, I already knew that, and it's not like they are freaking out in their mind and fixating on it like they need to go find further information sources. And oftentimes when the kids tell them, like I said, they're telling it wrong anyway, and I love it when my kids just know, oh, I've already heard that, and that's not even true. Like, I know the truth, and they know what their parents have told them. We choose to tell our kids around 8 years old. It could be earlier, could be later. You know your kid best. But we think this is a good time when they're reaching that age of accountability. And if you do wait later, I'm going to say there's about a 99% chance that they will hear it at school already if you wait till later. There's a great book. It's by Linda and Richard Iyer. It's called How to Talk to Your Child About Sex. And we used that resource even before I got into this work. We used that resource to help us and guide us. We didn't do everything that they said in the book, but I thought it was a good guideline. So make sure you check that out if you are in that process where your kid's getting older and you'd like some additional help on how to talk to them. The next thing is acknowledge curiosity about their own body. Acknowledge that it's normal. It's just a part of development. Self-exploration should be expected. Okay, I know this is a touchy one, touchy subject. You can still absolutely teach them self-control and teach them your expectations of behavior from a place of understanding and normalizing the curiosity, okay? But when we act like a five-year-old who has just learned about his private parts and all into them, and usually that happens a lot earlier, right? But when we act like that's a terrible, awful thing, and we shame them and freak out about it, again, it goes back to what I was talking about. It makes them feel bad about themselves. It kind of shocks them. It makes them not want to come to you, not want to talk to you. So just be careful about these things. Even if you want to teach them correct habits and principles, you can do that from a place of love without shaming. So I know a lot of parents want to say, oh yeah, that's your body and Heavenly Father made you that way. And we don't go around touching it. We don't go around showing people. We don't whatever, right? Whatever they're doing. You can still implement guidelines and rules and tell them your expectations without freaking out on them and without shaming them. Teach them they can talk about hard things with you by telling them and by showing them. It goes back to the remaining calm, right? Teach them it's natural to be curious about things, even pornography. Okay, let me be clear here. I don't think our teenagers and our adolescents should be going out viewing pornography. That's not what I'm saying. But it's absolutely normal for kids to hear about these things and just be curious about what it is. It's natural to be drawn to it. And it's also addictive, right? And it can do a lot of harm. I want to make sure I acknowledge both sides of this. Some of you are saying, why on earth would we tell them that it's natural to be drawn to that? I think it's very appropriate to tell them that it's natural to be drawn to cocaine or alcohol or any other drug. It's natural to be curious. It's natural to be adventurous in your mind and think, what would that be like? But it doesn't mean it's healthy for them. It doesn't mean they should do it. It doesn't mean we don't implement guidelines and boundaries. It just means when their brain is thinking, oh, what would that be like? Or I wonder what that looks like. Or when all their friends are doing it, if they're tempted. It just means that we're telling them you're normal. Your brain is kind of wired to be curious about these things. And that content, pornography, is designed to be addictive and pull you in. So that pull is normal. Then we teach them how to deal with that, right? Then we can teach them how to safeguard themselves so they don't get sucked into it. But if we just say, nope, it's wrong, you should never do it, when that child feels that curiosity and desire, then they think they can't come to you for help. Then they don't ask you for advice. Then they don't seek your guidance and counsel if they've made a mistake with it. Okay, so that's a tricky one. It's natural to be curious, but we can still set up the boundaries and guidelines. Teach them that their worth never changes, even if they make a mistake. Even if they do something we don't like, they are still of worth, and we can still work on this, and they can become clean again, and they can overcome any challenges and misdeeds that they've done, right? We teach them that they're always of great worth. And the last thing, I think this one's so important. In the church as a whole, and especially with our kids, we need to be teaching them that the atonement is real and it works if they need to utilize it for any mistake, even those relating to sexual sins. If we teach our children that because they've made a mistake, that they're tainted, that they're bad, that they can't overcome it, we're in essence saying that the atonement doesn't work. And I don't believe that, and I think most of you listening to me don't believe that either. We have to teach them, just it goes along with the worth thing, that even if they make a mistake, they can be forgiven, they can be clean, they can be whole, and teach them that we will walk with them, we will help them, we will show them how to do that. Okay, I'd love to hear what you think about my tips and my thoughts about talking to your kids about sex without shame and embarrassment. Again, make sure you get this freebie. It's just a guideline that you can go back over and refresh yourself with all these tips. It has a little link to watch a video of me teaching these tips again if you'd like it. The link is rondafarr.com/freebie-teaching, and I will put that link in the show notes. Have a great one, my sisters!